All right, praise the Lord. Well, welcome to Relationship University. This is the first one for the new year, isn't it? Today we've got Brian and Sue Nutman, and they're going to be sharing with us about is your problem bitterness? And so bitterness is a major issue. You don't want a root of bitterness to spring up in you because it'll cause all kind of issues. So I'm really looking forward to this teaching topic today. Let me just run through a few announcements and then we'll hand it over to Brian and Sue. But I just want to let you guys know that Relationship University is a great way to train all of us in God's kind of relationships. Like, how does God do relationships? What's God's vision and purpose for relationships? And it doesn't matter whether it's sexual, whether it's marriage, whether it's singleness, whether it's parenting, whatever it is, like, this is where we handle those issues. And so we encourage you to check out all the Relationship University archives on awmi.net/relationships. And there's also the Relationship University package that we have for sale. If you guys want to buy this online, you can. If you guys want to come here to the bookshop, you can also get it there. And we have that is 56 hours of curriculum. And so 719-635-1111, you can call in and get that, right? 56 hours of curriculum, that's a lot of information from people that have really lived life and learned how to succeed. So I would encourage you not to just come here, but get the invest in yourself. Buy the truth and sell it not. That's what the Bible says. So today is going to be 45 minutes of teaching and then 30 minutes of question and answers. So then we'll have some time for prayer ministry at the end. Now, those of you who are here, you can just come up here and get prayer. But those of you online at the end, you can still call 719-635-1111. And prayer ministers will be there to pray with you for whatever you may need. Now, we do have questions from the audience, but also questions from online audience as well. So you can call 71, you can text 719-212-2555. 719-212-2555. Or you can email your questions to livequestions@awmcaris.com. And all the questions are anonymous. Nobody's going to say, well, such and such from such and such a place just asked about, you know, we're not going to put you on the spot. So whatever questions you have, feel free. They will come in anonymous and we'll be able to answer those best of our ability. And so I think without any further ado, can we give it up for Brian and Sue Nutman?
Well, Happy New Year, everybody, and Happy New Year for everybody online. It's great to see everybody here. I'm pleased we have a live audience, because when you put a title out there, are you affected by bitterness? You are interested if one person turns up. So thank you, because I know you're all here to understand more about this and to help others, which is really the whole idea of today, is we want to give you some tools to help other people walk through this, because I think more than anything, this is one of the biggest weapons the enemy will use, especially with Christians. So just bear that in mind.
Gasp!
You know, at the end of the day, it's one of the things that he knows will get underneath our skin. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. Especially in relationships, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I don't know about that.
And it can come in little forms and big forms. So what we're going to do, we've got a PowerPoint that we're going to run through, but we've also got a little practical demonstration for you where we require a couple of volunteers. All right, so we'll explain that as we go on. So the first slide, are you affected by bitterness? Very quiet. It's not a question we want to ask ourselves, is it? No. Okay, so I've got it here so I can see it better with my eyes. So bitterness blows out the candle of joy and leaves our souls in darkness. Ooh, that's quite a statement, isn't it? And the main scripture we're going to be coming from today is Hebrews 12, 14 to 15. And it says, pursue peace with all people, holiness without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many will become defiled. And I think that was a really prominent scripture because it talks about this root. So how does a root start? If we go to the next slide. Germination. There's got to be a seed. And in time, God created everything from a seed. So there are good seeds and there are bad seeds. But they can all be planted, especially in our hearts. And you know, a seed of bitterness can be either a hurt, it can be physical or verbal, and it can be a response to something that somebody has planted intentionally and unintentionally.
That is very true. You know, and again, guys, bitterness is just an emotion from a sensory experience. And so it is a response to what has actually happened to us, or even happen to somebody that we know. Because sometimes that person, if they become embittered by a situation, can also contaminate you. And the thing with bitterness, which is the most interesting situation, is, for instance, if I'm bitter about something, then it affects me. But also the bitterness will affect the people that I have influence with. The only thing that it doesn't affect is the bitterness towards the person that I'm, or the situation that I'm bitter with. Strange that, isn't it? That our own bitterness can affect the ones that we influence, our other friends, our other areas of, like work colleagues or family. But the only person that it doesn't affect is the one that we're actually, or the situation that we're actually bitter with. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is why, again, that it's such an important area as a Christian 101 situation, because, again, a lot of Christians have become bitter and angry and other situations towards other Christians because of what they've said or what they've done. And again, there's so many things in so many levels, but we just want to bring, you know, a little bit of lightheartedness to this. But also, I think the basis is of how important it is not to become bitter, because that can change the course and the route of what we've actually got to do for the future. God's calling upon our lives, the relationships that God will put in front of us. And that's why I'm saying is it's so crucial that we understand if we become embittered, that we can actually make the others or people around us become bitter as well. And I can tell you this for free as well. If you become bitter, you're going to lose trust very quickly. The quickest and easiest way to lose influence and also to lose trust is to become bitter. So again, I just love it because we get to really talk about the fluffy things of life. You know, it's when God said to us, we were praying, what is it that you would like us to talk about? He went, bitterness, and it was, So we get the lovely, fluffy subjects. Yeah.
And it's also, we always teach from experience, so we're teaching this because on occasions we've gone down this road.
Yeah.
And we've realised, you know what? This is an offence I'm taking on. And something, there's been a situation come up, and yes, I feel offended over that, or I feel overlooked. You know, it always seems to be other people that are getting the advances or doing this and doing that. And it's those tiny little seeds. Mm. It's the disappointments and the distractions and all those little things that sometimes get into your heart that if you're not careful and learn how to combat it, then they do grow. And if you've ever done any experiments, you know, as children or with children, of planting a seed in a glass dish, in a glass pot, you do that so the fact that they can see the root goes down before the shoot comes up. So sometimes things go deep down inside before we even notice them.
Yep. And I mean, if you really want to sort of look at the width of the word bitterness, I've just written some down here of what bitterness can mean in its emotional state, not so much in its theoretical state. And I put down here, it means being fierce, being cruel, ruthless, acrimonious, caustic, sardonic, scornful, extremely, what do I say, critical, and even extremely sarcastic. I mean, English people are probably some of the most sarcastic people that I think we've ever come across, but English people, when we are sarcastic towards each other, we have a very good filter and a barrier to bounce off. But
it doesn't always work over here, though, does it?
No,
we've come unstuck.
English
people just look blankly at you, and it's like, oh dear.
or people look at you very offended, even though the English sarcasm has been inbred into us. But it's, you can see the reaction by other people's faces of what sarcasm can do. Mm-hmm. And so all of these things, and it's always being angry, never satisfied, never having a kind word to say, and always resents their situation regardless of the actual circumstances. See, everything becomes negative. There's lenses that goes on, there's situations that we start to live life through bitterness, and then nothing is ever good enough. And so we just want to talk
about that. And I think you will come across people in ministry, when you're ministering to people or just in everyday life. I'm sure everybody can turn around and say, yeah, either I've been bitter or I know somebody who's been bitter and carried an offence. So it's not something that you're not going to come across, but it's how do we deal with it? And also, how do we react when situations come about?
Well, I think even on a personal level as well, even in my younger years and experience, I mean, how many other people have done this, that you actually put other people down to make you feel better? It's a form of bitterness to actually make people feel worse about themselves so you can feel better about yourself. I mean, that's one of the roots of bitterness. And, again, this is why I'm so thankful. Yes, we're talking about hard-hitting things, but at the end of the day, there is always an antidote to bitterness. Yeah. And that's not only the Lord's help, but it's also thankfulness. See, thankfulness is the antidote to bitterness. And you really have to understand that even in the midst of what you're walking through, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much you've been offended or angry at the situation, is being thankful in those times to God and giving it to Him is the antidote to the situation.
Yeah.
And that's so important.
So we're going to have a little bit of fun.
We
need two people who are willing to come up and be...
Well, are you going to go down?
Well, no, they'd be better off coming up.
Okay.
They can come up. And it involves tasting food. So I don't want anybody who's got a food allergy.
Yeah, any food allergies, then we
will... We will pray for that at the end. So we've got one. Have another one? Okay. All right. You brave enough? Okay. You can explain about this while I get ready.
Okay. So really what we want to do is demonstrate the basis of three situations. Of three situations of somebody who becomes bitter in regards to the situation that they find themselves in, and the one who's not going to become bitter in regards to the similar situation, to see what happens.
I'm going to give you my Bible.
So, I think what we're going to say, first of all, let me know when you're ready.
Okay, I am.
My lovely assistant.
Nobody's done this before, so this is how we do it. Things are a little bit experimental. Right.
So the first situation is these two gentlemen, life is good, relationships are good, with their family, with their parents, with, their work colleagues. Everything is just going great. And so life is good, so life is sweet. Is it not? And so when you actually taste that in a physical sense, it's like, life is good. English chocolate for you. So the second situation is this is a scenario of friends. How many of you have had friends that have come against us? And so the next real topic that I want to share is, so this scenario is about a group of friends. You've been friends with these guys for ages. You're in a group. You're always together. You're always hanging out. You're having fun. And then all of a sudden is you get to hear that they're going on a great journey together, a road trip, but you've been left out. And the reason being is that somebody within that group has picked up a situation and actually gossiped about the situation to the rest of the group, but actually it was a lie. So this person that is actually now not going on this road trip with all their other friends now starts to feel rejected, starts to feel angry, starts to feel all the other feelings that they get inside. Why did they lie about me? Why am I the one that's shut out? How it's all of the feelings start to rush in. So we have a choice, really, on how that feels, but how we react. So the negative side is somebody who becomes slightly bitter towards the situation and towards all those friends. It's 92% dark chocolate, so if that's not bitter. Feeling a little bit sort of like, this is, And so for the other one, we just want to grab the word and turn to Psalms 37, 7 and 8. And we would like you to read that. Because again, the word of God brings truth and brings life. But also we go back to God with the situation.
It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm.
See, fretting about a situation.
Have that one and then do the nice reaction.
So there's still sweetness, you know? They have not allowed the situation or anything to allow the bitterness to come in and start to taint them. And so again, this is how it starts. This is how the roots begin. And so the third one really, and the third scenario is a real sort of hard-hitting one. We've brought this about a situation of marriages or the basis of really strong friendships, and they feel like they've been deceived. There is an area of deception in the marriage, or even that there's been an area of deception with a father and their children, or their mother and their children. And it's been going on years, and all of a sudden it starts to find out. And there is this rage that now starts with inside, the disappointment, the discouragement, just the heartache, everything that goes on with finding out what has just happened. And again, we have a choice, even though that those huge hurts and those huge situations have come in like a flood of emotions. It's where do we take them? How do we deal with them? And how do we operate through them? And so the bitter person that's already been hit by the situation of their friends now takes on an even extra level of bitterness. You can't spit it out.
Yeah, exactly. We were doing that last night. We're like, chocolate, bitter chocolate, then an olive. And it was like...
But the one that actually, again, takes their heart towards God... And doesn't see, this is the other thing that happens sometimes. We blame God for the situation, and we can become not only embittered towards the people or the person, we can become embittered towards God because we feel that he's brought it on us. And we're going to explain something that, but we're actually now going to come from the scripture, which is 1 Peter 2:1. And so here's the young man that obviously the same situation has happened, and he's crying out to God. He's thinking, man, where do I go from here? How do I react, Lord? I am hurt. I am all of these feelings that are welling up inside, and he turns back towards the word. And 1 Peter 2:1 says,
therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking.
So again, he's decided to take the choice that he is not going to become embittered. He's not going to have envy or hypocrisy or evil speaking. And so he gets to the basis of actually keeping his heart and his emotions and no bitterness that will come out and affect his mouth. Because, you know, where do you think, I mean, I've just written this down, but where do you think the saying comes? And we say it, I don't know whether it's a US saying or a British saying, but it's a situation says, that situation left a bitter taste in my mouth. You see where it comes from?
So, Tyler, have you got a bitter taste in your mouth? A little bit.
Well, thank you, guys.
For volunteering you can have a bottle of water.
We just wanted to give you a simple demonstration of what it's like to either be bitter or not. So, and again, bitterness, there can be so many things. There can be emotional rejection, denial by another person, deliberate embarrassment. How many of you have just been deliberately embarrassed?
Apart from Tyler.
You know, in front of people.
All right.
How people have spoken about you. I mean, all of these things affect and the seeds go in. I mean, belittling. That's another one, how we belittle people in front of others. And, you know, even if it's a friend or a family member, sometimes the biggest wounds are from friends and families.
Yeah. So if we go to the PowerPoint, the fruit of bitterness. So I'm just going to read this to you. So what does it affect? Mainly you. Okay, the root of bitterness is underground and it is easily hid and camouflaged by blaming others and using gossip as a tool. People seldom admit to being bitter. A bitter person is usually hypersensitive, ungrateful, insecure, holds grudges, and can have mood swings. When your heart is bitter, God will not be real to you, or he'll only be acting, you know, doing things in other people's lives, not mine. I've heard people say that. Bitterness is not a fruit of the spirit. It is a seed of our enemy. And like we said, it's easy for him to sow just that little bit of disappointment and that little bit of discouragement, which then can start to build and to grow. And there are so many biblical stories throughout the Bible of people that to begin with were taken down this bitter root, and it wasn't until they got themselves into a place of this is where my heart needs to be and repentance that they were able to walk through what they were walking through.
That's very true. And even if you look at scriptures, there's so many areas and so many situations, and like I said, you know, we don't end up just blaming other people. There is a situation where Christians can start to blame God for the position that they find themselves in. And one of those, I know that people say, well, I don't like teaching on the book of Job, but actually there's some great situations that we can learn from the book of Job in how he responded and how he reacted. Yes, did he have every case to become bitter? You know, the death of his family, the death of his children, the stealing of all of his crops and money and finances and sickness put upon him. Everything that was put upon him, he had a choice of how to respond and what he responded with. But I put down here, you know, his losses were huge. But then sorrow begins to change him. And sorrow is a part of being, you know, can be a seed of bitterness. And even here in Job 10, verses 1 and 3, it says, he starts to cry out to God, I loathe my life. I will give free utterance to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Does it seem good to you to oppress me, or to despise the work of your hands and favor the designs of the wicked? I mean, he's starting to speak to God now and actually starting to look and blame him for the situation that he's in. And so you can see how this plays out. His sorrow and criticism started to consume his thoughts and his personality. He was asking God why he was letting evil and tragedy happen to a righteous man while letting the bad people get away. See, all of these situations is we're thinking about ourselves and we're blaming the situation that actually they should be the ones that have actually, this has happened to them, not me. Mm-hmm. But actually, again, we have a response of how that looks. I mean, even Job acknowledges his bitterness. He goes beyond asking God why something bad happened to him, and he implying that God was out of order. And you look in chapter 10, there's all these questions that go on, and it says, why did you pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? And that's in verse 10. Why did you bring me out of my mother's womb? Job's sentiments of being abused by was his own sentiments and his thoughts that God was abusing him, and it would have been better that he was never born. You see where this whole thing starts to go down? I mean, I know it's a hard-hitting situation, but who's blamed God for their situations that they've found themselves in sometimes? I'm being open, I have. And it's something that I've had to repent from and actually say, Lord, it's got these bad things aren't because of you. And I've had to change my heart towards those things. So even if you look at like Naomi changed her name. Because she said on the basis is that, you know, herself felt that she was so downcast by the things of what happened to her, she changed her name to Sorrow. Mm-hmm. So you look at these situations is every single time we have a choice of how bitterness ends up. Mm-hmm. Are we doing okay?
Yeah.
Is it making sense? You know, and again, I'm just looking at things of how we respond. Is we get angry at situations, we get angry at personal scenarios that happen to us. But you know, the only thing that we get to be angry about is what God gets angry about. That's the only time that we should be angry, is actually understanding what angers God. Because it's righteous anger. And so we have to be in that place of actually hating what God hates, but loving what he loves, and that's people. He may not love the situation of what's happening with them, but he will never stop loving people. And we should have the same response in regards to that, is even though that what's happening to us may not seem great, and it may seem hurtful, and all of those, and we have the emotions, is that we get to love how he loves. Amen?
Yeah, and I think my next little slide, the last little one on this, is this character from the film Up. Has anybody seen that film? And, you know, this is, and there are a lot of people like that. This is this grumpy old gentleman that just, you know, he feels he's been dealt a bad card in life, doesn't he? But at the end of the day, this is a very famous quote. A lot of people have said this. Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. And there are so many scriptures in, and we're going to talk a bit more about those as we go on, so many scriptures in the Bible where it says, you know, where Jesus goes through about not judging others, about turning the other cheek, about doing all those things that are so hard sometimes. And believe me, you know, we know this. You know, we've walked through stuff and we've ministered to people that have been through some really tough situations in life.
Yeah.
But if you can only get them to focus on what God wants for them and to forgive, which is one of the keys to bitterness, then they walk in that freedom, which is so, so powerful. And I think that's the next thing is, you know, how do you get
freedom?
Freedom.
But I mean, before we hit that one, I mean, there's even a famous story. Now, it may be a Native American story, but to me, again, this is about walking in the fruits of the Spirit versus that of actually walking in the flesh. So please, you know, give me a bit of grace on that one. But this story is about two wolves. And the grandfather was talking to the grandson. And he said, I always feel like there's these two raging wolves that are going on inside. One of the wolves is angry and bitter and hatred and just envy and jealousy and everything else that is going on inside. And the other wolf that is actually from the other side is full of love, full of peace, full of mercy, full of everything that's good. And just literally, but there is this battle of the two wolves and they're trying to actually kill each other. And he said, this goes on inside so many people in so many situations. And the grandson, as he heard this, pondered upon it. And then he asked his grandfather a very simple question. He said, which wolf will win? And the grandfather turned around to the grandson and said, the one that you feed is the one that will win. And to me, that's such an incredible sort of picture of that we have a choice of we're either going to choose the wolf, which is our sinful flesh, or we're going to choose the wolf, where it's Galatians 5, 20 and 23 is the fruits of the Spirit of joy, love, peace. And yes, there are these internal...
Long-suffering. Patience.
But to me, there is this tension and battle that goes on inside of us. And this is where that we have to allow the Spirit of God to be the one that we actually feed, hit, or allow him to feed us with the goodness of what that looks like. But I just wanted to share that because, again, to me, it was a great sort of just viewpoint of what goes on inside of us internally with these battles. Or am I the only one? Anyway, so yeah. But even in Ephesians 4:31, I mean, Paul shows us how toxic bitterness by lifting off other emotions that come alongside it. And it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. See, again, all of these things, they are made so clear of how we get to walk. Mm-hmm. And how we should walk.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, some of the hardest battles that you'll deal with in this situation is maybe when it's related to like a close family member and you can't understand the way they're reacting about something. I'll share something quite personal with you. You know, we went on this journey with the Lord over 10 years ago. And there were people in our family that didn't understand why we were doing what we were doing. You know, A, why are you going to America? B, what do you mean you're going to Bible college? You know, what about me here? When are you coming back? All those types of situations where people, you know, when God's called somebody to do a journey, it's not always, you know, bouncing sheep in fields. It may seem like that to begin with, but, you know, as you go on the journey, there are going to be things that come away. I mean, Paul and Jesus both said you will get trials in this life. But I think one of the hardest situations you can be in is when you know maybe that God's called you to something, but then also you're breaking a family member's heart because of the choice you're making. Has anybody been in that situation where I'm making this choice and they don't understand? And maybe they don't understand because they're not on the same journey as you. Maybe they don't understand because they're not a believer like you. So anyway, there was a situation in my family and it had been going on for years. You know, there was just this level of heartbreak. And it's so hard when somebody you love has a broken heart that actually you've caused. It's a hard one. So after this amount of time of just trying to do all the right things, like you think, well, you know, I'm on this journey with God. God, you need to sort them out. God, you need to do this. You need to do that. What really bounced off the page for me was, you know, in Matthew 7, where it says, you know, do not judge. Don't judge. You know, if somebody is offensive to you or even just says something wrong to you, you know, give them the cheek to slap and then give them the other cheek to slap. So do you know what I did? I actually contacted this person and said, you know what? I know that you are so upset with the choice that I made. I know this choice has really affected you, and I am sorry that I wasn't there, and I'm sorry I can't be there while you're walking through what you're walking through. Because these things affect us. You know, when it's family members, it affects us. But I felt, even though I technically, in my eyes, haven't done anything wrong, I followed God's calling on my life, but in return, that has affected people. So I said, please forgive me for making this choice, even though I know in the Bible it says, choose God first, God first. We all understand that. But I felt God tell me to ask for forgiveness. Please forgive me for making this choice and affecting you and affecting our relationship. Because at the end of the day, I don't want you to have unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart, whether that's towards me or towards God or whoever. So please forgive me. And I just want to share with you that after 10 years, that made a difference in that relationship. But even though I technically, in my heart, didn't feel I did anything wrong, it was important for me to ask for their repentance. Because it's like God said, if you keep having this stuff going over and over and over again in your heart, then you can't release it unless you hand it over to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I got to that stage where I can't fix this. As much as that was frustrating for me, I can't fix this. So I'm going to take the stance of saying, forgive me, knowing the fact that that will release that person. So again, it's just that encouragement of understanding the depths of what it means to repent for sometimes the decisions that we make, even when we feel we've made the right decisions.
Yeah.
Does that sort of resonate?
And I think, again, just, you know, walking along this theme, even Sue and I have been married 30 years, it'd be 31 years this year. But, you know, we had some really rough and tough times when we weren't walking with the Lord. There was a lot of situation in our lives and in things, how we acted towards each other and what we said.
A lot of bitterness, a lot of resentment.
Yeah, created a lot of bitterness towards each other and just the emotions that went with it, and it ends up shutting you down. Yeah, and one of the things with bitterness is it will always hold on to the past. Mm-hmm. See, if you can't let bitterness go, you're always going to be held into the past, and it will not allow you to enter into the present or allow you to enter into the future. And that is so important, guys, again, is that it will always hold you back and allow you to look on the things that have gone past. And I'm just... there's a couple of other things that I want to share, and I was just praying about these, thinking, Lord, do I bring this up or not? But it's like in 1 John 4:20, it talks about that if we love God and hate our brother, then we actually don't, well, you know, the things of God are unseen, but the things of man are seen. But if we actually love God who we don't see and hate our brother that we do see, then we're liars. That we love God. I know that's pretty hard hitting, but the situation is that unseen realities have to become realities in the physical world. You know, the unseen realities is that we love God. We can't see it. The reality is can I love my brother or sister in Christ, even though that they've hurt me? That is the reality of the scene. We have to be in a place of allowing that reality to come forth. And that's huge. If we've forgiven somebody, then our actions should line up with the basis of that they've been forgiven. And that's what I'm saying, guys. Yes, we can forgive. Does it mean that we need to trust them? Well, that's a whole different factor and a whole different situation. Forgiveness means that we have the ability to make the decision that I'm going to bring the unseen into the seen realms. And if it takes me, like Sue just said, to do the first act, which is actually, you know, what I did was right, but I didn't realize how much it hurt you. And so it's taken 10 years, you know, to restore that relationship. And so this is why it's so important that, again, it's how we as Spirit-filled lovers of Jesus need to love other people, whether we've been hurt or offended or don't even know what we've offended sometimes. And so this is why it's so important. But the other thing that I just wanted to share quickly on this, even if we look at the model prayer of Jesus, mm-hmm. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread, as you know, and so it goes on. And the last comment is let us forgive the trespasses of others as you forgive the trespasses of us. See, that model prayer means that we get up in the morning, our feet hit the floor, and we are the redemptive solution. Hello? If he's saying, our Father who art in heaven, how it should be in heaven should be on earth. That's us. That's how we should be. We are bringing heaven to earth. And if it means that as soon as our feet hit the floor, that we have the redemptive solution of forgiveness, and actually that we get up and start the day knowing that things are going to happen, it's like, I've taken the stance and I've taken the situation that I'm not going to become bitter. I'm not going to become the basis of having unforgiveness and become unoffendable. But that whole scripture itself is so huge. Is it a difficult walk? Most definitely. But I tell you what, one thing is that Sue and I started to pray back end of last year or mid to end of last year because of a situation that happened to us, is that we actually said, Lord, we actually choose the basis of not becoming offended. We choose.
Yeah, I think it was a statement that we felt was really powerful was, I give up the right to be offended.
Is that hard? Or
now, believe me, has that been tested? Yes. But it was one of those things, it was like, wow. And it was something that we saw written down. And I looked at Brian and I said, you know, it's not, you know, it is a choice whether you get offended. But if I actually give up my right to be offended, because as humans, you know, we have that right, don't we? It's our flesh, you know. It's our soul, it's our emotions. But if we turn around and say, I give up my right to be offended, Lord.
It's huge.
It's huge.
That's not an easy walk, but it's a choice again of how we live. If God can actually give us Jesus to take away the sins of the world and the sins that we commit and everything else, and that he lives himself unoffended in regards to how he sees people, shouldn't we be able to do the same?
Yeah.
Greater that he is in us than it's in the world. See, all of the scriptures now start to flood in to be able to truly start to see how we should be walking and talking and living. But like I said, guys, I mean, you know, we see it as much as anybody else does. And a lot of non-believers, the first thing they always say is, why should I become a Christian? Because you guys are miserable. You're always digging the knife in with each other. You know, and some of the biggest wounds that are caused, like I said, are through fellow Christians that have done stuff, said stuff. But we have a situation to how we respond. We truly do. Mm-hmm. And it is difficult. I'm not saying it's easy, but bitterness will distort our view. It does, and it will reshape our vision of how we see things. I mean, Sue and I call it, you know, putting on the tinted or tainted lenses. If something happens and you put those lenses on and you start to live out of it, and it changes your view and perception of things and how I act towards people, putting barriers up. I can't afford to be hurt anymore, so up goes a barrier. There's all of these things that happen with our emotions and with our minds and our thoughts and our perceptions.
Show freedom.
Well, do you mind if I share one more thing?
No, that's fine. I won't get offended.
And I know I'm probably hitting on this stuff again, but it's so important. We have no right to criticize another brother or sister in Christ. We have no right to criticize them. We have no right to judge them. We have no right to talk about them. And even more so, the ministers of the gospel. Hello. The ones that God's put in place to be the minister of the gospel, we have no right to do that. And so to me, that's again something so important, that we can become very flippant with other ministers or other ministers of the gospel that may not have the revelation that other ministers have, and we start to judge and criticize the way they think or speak or act. Guys, I encourage you to... And you start to pray a blessing. Lord, I pray a blessing over them, that you give them the revelation of what they need. So you start to switch everything 180 degrees, because that's who we are.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, freedom. The next slide. So this is a statement that I would say about freedom. And it was, as I walked out the door towards freedom, I knew that if I did not leave all anger, hatred, bitterness behind me, that I would still be in the prison. And do you get away with that? Yep. That's a little technical issue there. So next slide, three steps. I just want to go through this because I spent some time putting this together for you, because I know sometimes we're visual learners, and if we can sort of take pictures of things, it helps. So three steps: let God reveal it, let grace reveal it, and let good replace it. Amen. So the first one, let God reveal it. And I know it's up there, but I'm just going to read this to you. You need to allow Holy Spirit to do spiritual surgery in your heart. You know that you are bitter, even if you have disguised it well. You have been deceived in thinking you are right. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? A deceitful heart can't diagnose a deceitful heart itself. You need to repent and ask God to show you. You often hear people say, I came to the end of myself. Repentance was next. Bitterness can affect you physically as well as emotionally, and certainly spiritually. Scriptures say in Ephesians 4:26, do not sin, do not let the sun go down while you are angry, and realize the difference between angry and an offense. It's like Brian was saying earlier on, God's righteous anger, when you hear say something like about a child being abused, that's righteous anger. That should bubble up inside of you. Being offended by something your husband or wife has said before you go to bed, and then squeezing on that last 3 inches of the bed. Has anybody done that? I'm just, don't come near me. Yeah? That's what that scripture's on about. Don't go to bed offended. Remember, as hard as it is, get up each day.
We do that.
Oh, quite a few years. Yeah, loads of years. I was like, I'm just going to be on the last. I mean, and I was the one that had the uncomfortable night's sleep. He's snoring away. I'm the one who's on the edge of the bed getting cold because I'm like, don't you come near me. It's just us. Okay, fair enough. Okay, let grace reveal it. A response to bitterness is never right when someone has done something wrong to you. So we're not saying people don't do wrong things to us, okay? Even the ones we love sometimes are the ones that hurt us the most, all right? Ask yourself this question, even if you have been really hurt or bad, wronged by somebody, is it more than what Jesus took on the cross for me? Is this more than what Jesus paid for when he paid for everything? And I've just got that scripture there in Luke where he's, you know, where he said, you know, forgive them for what they do not do. And that is God's grace to us, guys, that despite what we've been through, and as I say, I know some people have been through some really, really heartbreaking stuff. But even so, is it bigger than what Jesus took on the cross? And sometimes that's a hard question to ask yourself. So again, let good replace it. And again, it's going back to our scripture in Hebrews 12, 14 to 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You cannot be holy right in your heart unless you follow peace with men. So you can't say it if you don't feel it. There's no point in putting that mask on or camouflaging how you're feeling, because God knows your heart. You can't hide it from him. So you might be able to hide it from your colleagues or your partners or your friends, but you can't hide it from God. And the way to do this is obviously to forgive. So, you know, by forgiving them, you're not taking them off the hook. You're just releasing yourself into freedom. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. You know, so bitterness. So the next slide is pull it up. This is pull it out. So try and pull up that root of bitterness, allowing forgiveness and peace instead to grow in your heart. Because when we get rid of these things, we want to replace them. So we want to replace them with things that are good for us, the good fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah, and I don't know if I've shared this before, you know, on a personal situation again, but I lived my life as a prodigal son for 26 years, and that became a bitter root, and it all stemmed from a situation, again, of the church, and a situation with my mum and dad, that they became, you know, sort of very involved with the church, but also they were very much looking at the basis of, you know, the power of God, the love of God, and those things. My mum was healed of a crumbling spine when I was about 8 years old. So I became born again and spirit-filled when I was 12. But there was one situation where they got kicked out of a church. And there was a few other things as well. But this one particular situation that I was walking down the road with my mum, and one of the people from the church literally was walking on the same side as us, decided to cross over the other side of the road and not even give us the light of day. My situation right there, right then, was if this is Christians and this is the things of God, I want to have nothing to do with any of it and anyone. And you are Sue. I mean, we were married 18 years and she never knew I was a Christian or born again at that point, because the way I lived my life and how angry and bitter I became towards Christians and to the things of God, it took me down roads I never should have gone down, but that was a choice. But for 26 years, I lived that. I'm just thankful for my mum for praying for me for 26 years, because, you know, she's one of the reasons why I sit here today. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Yeah. Because at the end of the day is nothing you do, nothing you say, how offended you become, how angry you become, you don't think God can't work that through for you. You don't think God can come through for you. I mean, he chased me for 5 years, solidly, and I rejected him for 5 years based on that one area of bitterness. And guys, I've seen the basis of what it does in my heart and in my body, but also I see such the beautiful, incredible, loving nature and character of God. I mean, grace has a whole different meaning to me.
Amen.
Amen, because it is by the grace of God that I sit here nearly, how long now?
13 years.
Yeah, 13 years. So I came back to the Lord when I was
40.
40, so it shows
how. So you've told everybody you're 53.
Yeah, anyway, 53 years young. But I, you know, guys, this is what I'm saying is 26 years that I walked with that anger and that bitterness and that rage from that one situation. Mm-hmm. And it brought me pretty much to destruction, but not just me. It nearly destroyed Sue. It nearly destroyed my relationship with my kids. Everything that I started to look through was the lenses of bitterness about people and what they are and who they are. And just, you know, that rancidity. Because then it didn't just become normal Christians, it became everyone. I never trusted anybody. The way that I looked at them, the way I judged them and criticized them was all from that root, and it just grew deeper and deeper. But I'll tell you what, it took God 12 hours in a hotel room, flat on my face, being stuck to the floor by the spirit and power of God to rip everything out of me of those 26 years. So you don't think that he can't wipe the slate clean in a matter of hours? That's what I'm saying, guys. Grace and the love of God changes everything.
Amen. Amen. So the next slide before we go into... So this one says, you will discover life more joyful if you uproot even the smallest root. And, you know, during our time of studying, there are over 21 scriptures in the Bible that talk about bitterness, and not one of them says it's good for you, all right? So we talked about some today. There's a couple more here. Psalm 73:2, when my heart was embittered, I was pierced within. How often do you see people that are either bitter or they're carrying offense and they look pierced, don't they? In James 3:14, it says, but if you have any bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in the heart, do not be arrogant, and so it lie against the truth. So again, you know, there are so many scriptures that are telling us this is not a good thing for you. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, to be Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you.
Amen.
I think we can all say that. And there's just, I just want to bring up this scripture in Matthew 5:8, and it's from the Beatitudes. And I don't know about you, but if you go to Matthew and chapter 5, this is a pretty important section in Matthew. It's all red. And we all know that. We're all Bible school students, so we know if it's red, it's Jesus. Amen. So he spends so much time, Matthew 5, 6, 7, going over this. This was his main sermon on the Mount. And he talks about that. And one of the ones he talks about is being pure in heart. But I just want to read you just in Matthew 5, just 3 down to 10, to give you some idea what he was trying to get across. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those who are pure of heart, for they shall see God. So a pure heart will help you see God.
Amen.
Blessed are those are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. So if you're a peacemaker, He looks at you as a son of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for their sake, for they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And like Brian said, you know, the prayer, Our Father, at the end of that, in Matthew 6, at the end of the Our Father prayer, he says here in verse 14, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. It can't be any clearer than digging up that root of bitterness. And it can be something really small. It might not be a major offense. It may be something small. But at the end of the day, you don't want to allow it to grow. You don't want to feed it or get round people that will help you feed it. So I just want to do a general time of prayer before we go into some Q&A, and then we've got some resources that we can share with you. So I'm just going to ask everybody to stand up, because sometimes when you ask everybody to stand up, I'm not one for saying, right, if you're feeling bitter today, stand up, okay? But if you're, you know, I'm just asking you to stand up, because you can come alongside somebody spiritually who's maybe just been in a bit of a battle, or just feel, you know, or you might be praying for somebody that you know that is holding on to something. So use this prayer for them. That, you know, this is something that, hey, I'm really going to be able to take this prayer to my friend who I know will really benefit from this. Okay. So repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I hand to you my heart.
I hand to you my heart.
And any root of bitterness.
And any root of bitterness.
That I have allowed. To take root. Today. Heavenly Father, I ask you to come and scoop out that root of bitterness. I forgive myself for planting it. I forgive, and you can think of the person's name, I forgive the person.
I forgive.
Who caused this seed to grow. But today, Father, I draw a line in the sand and I hand to you this bitterness, this resentment, this anger, this disappointment, this hurt. Father God, what do you have for me in return? Father God, it says in your word that you give good gifts to your children. So I thank you today. As we just dig up those roots or those bad seeds, that we can trust and believe in you. As you see our hearts of repentance. And I thank you, Father God, for chains to be broken and for freedom to be received. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, can we give a hand to Brian and Sue? Did you guys enjoy that word? It was awesome. I just want to remind everybody to send in your questions, right? You can text them to 719-212-2555 or email them to livequestions at awmcares. So, we've got a few questions in already, so we'll start with those. Let's see.
Can you have the difficult ones?
No, I'm not as good as you guys. Let's see. Here's the first one. Number one is it possible to be bitter and not even realize it?
Yes, I think so. I think it's one thing that you know deep down, but it depends how many years you've been hiding it for. You know, everybody knows how they feel in their heart. And I think it's a question probably to ask yourself, but sometimes people, we're very good. Humans are very good at disguising ourselves and putting on masks and not even realizing that maybe bitterness is the result of that.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Question number two is, how do you deal with bitterness that family members have towards you, especially those you live with?
That's a good question. And I think as hard as it is, it's loving them through Jesus' eyes, because if they're holding some bitterness against you, and this can be sometimes caused through, you know, when there's been family split ups and, you know, sort of children are involved and there is that element of, you know, sort of resentment. You know, and some people can confuse, you know, bitterness and resentment. They're sort of the same family, to give you some idea. And as hard as it is, you have to, you know, look at them through the eyes of Jesus, love them through the eyes of Jesus. And even if they're still being bitter and, you know, resentful against you, the way you're going to win them round is by love.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, to me again, a lot of reasons why we deal with these ongoing situations that seem to last for weeks and months and years sometimes, where the roots go down deeper, is just the pure lack of communication. We don't know how sometimes to have somewhat difficult conversations with family members, because the other family member may rear up and get angry and everything else like that. But for me, it's also learning how to understand and communicate with that family member. Sometimes it's not about what we feel or what we think. It's having that thought process in our mind. If you know what the issue or the problem is, it's like, okay, so I'm going to actually put myself in their position, and how would they think, and why do they think the way they do? Why do they act the way they do? Why do they respond to me the way they do? And sometimes, you know, it can be a thought process, but it can also mean a difficult conversation, whether it's a sibling or a mum and dad or whoever it is. It's like, you know, why are you so angry with me? What is it that you feel that I've done that has brought us to this point? Because sometimes I don't understand why, yeah, but I want to understand why.
And hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. It's a natural response if you've been hurt. And you know, and it has, sometimes you have to be like, will you forgive me? You have to ask that difficult question, especially if you're the person that's caused the hurt within a family. You know, will you forgive me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. All right. These are some good questions, good answers. All right, here's the third one. Someone's asking, if a person is bitter with you and you've made amends, do you still pursue that relationship even if you're still not on good terms, right? Or do you just drop the relationship completely?
Well, I think it's one of those ones that if you've gone, and you know, and biblically again, if you've gone, like in Matthew 18, and you've asked that person for forgiveness, it's not your responsibility for them to accept it. You've asked them to forgive you for what the action is. Now, unless God tells you to go back and repair that relationship, that might be all God wanted you to do. You know, he might have just said, no, you've forgiven them, then it's up to the Lord to work in their heart. You're not God in that relationship. So I usually, because I've had people say to me, you know, okay, I've forgiven somebody who did something horrendous to me when it's been like an abuse or something like that. Have I then got to go back into a relationship with them. No. Not unless God tells you to do that. Because at the end of the day, God wants to get you out of the prison. And then he can deal with them.
Really good.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would say the same thing. You know, you don't have to feel like you need to work and work. And I actually put it like this, is that I'm not going to work harder than you to get you where you need to go. Why should it be all on me to actually work as hard as I possibly can do to make something better for you when you're not helping yourself? To me, that makes no sense. They have no skin in the game. So, yes, there's a base. Can I love them from afar? Most definitely. Is there basis that I can still pray for them mm-hmm. all the time and take communion?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's another thing that Sue and I do. You know, we take communion and pray for the ones that have actually hurt us or come against us. And you bless them, not curse them. Mm-hmm. And there's yeah. all of those things. But do you have to be best buddies?
No.
That's good. So did you want to add to that? Yeah. Good. Okay. All right. So here's another one. It's kind of similar to the last one. So he says, how do I know if I'm bitter or if it's the other person who's bitter? And my response is normal. So he says, like being hurt towards an action by them. What's the difference between hurt or sadness or loss of relationship versus offense or bitter towards someone? So it's a lot of stuff in there. But does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it is, because I think sort of, you know, the word bitterness, people are like, it's not, you know, it's not a nice word. We don't like to talk about it. So I, you know, does this person, you know, do you react to something they do? It's obviously something that they do that reacts you. So it's like, okay, Lord, what is it? And it can be an irritation. It can be just like, I find them so frustrating. Well, that's actually not bitterness. It's just that person frustrates you or they aggravate you. And again, it's going back to God saying, okay, this situation really aggravates me, or I'm just not seeing it from their point of view. So how can I help them in this situation? You know, rather than thinking, oh, I'm not feeling the bitterness for me. And it might not be something, it depends on what the situation is. But, you know, everybody has sandpaper people that rile them up.
But, you know, again, having the indication, am I bitter towards that person or am I not bitter, is a very simple question you can ask God. It's like, is there anything that I have against this person?
He'll tell you.
And if there is, please reveal it to me. Mm-hmm. Because, again, we don't want to be the people that are holding on to things, even if we don't realize it. And sometimes we don't realize it, because it's been such an old situation, or that we've lived out of a particular hurt or a particular cycle that goes around and around. We become so numb towards it that we don't even realize that it's affecting us. You know, again, I just look at it like this. I put a couple of statements down. As I said, you know, no one heals themselves by wounding another. I mean, it's true. That those are the questions that we have to ask ourselves, is that, you know, again, they're hard-hitting questions. The other one is never trust your heart when you have a mouth full of bitter things to say. Because we can't trust our heart, because there's always things coming out of our mouth that are in negative response to that person, or even in the negative view of what God thinks about them. And if our thoughts and views do not line up with the heart of God, then that is going to be a negative seed that we're actually thinking towards that person or situation.
And sometimes it cannot even be something bitter. It can be like a lie that you're believing about somebody, and it's getting to the truth. You know, you've believed this lie about somebody for a long time just because of the way they act. But have you had that conversation with them why they act like that? Because you can be believing something about them which isn't true.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, how many of you guys on this situation is that you don't actually know somebody that well, but somebody else has come to you and said something about that person which completely changes your viewpoint on them? I mean, it happens all the time that there is something that somebody is actually, because of their misinterpretation or because of their annoyance of this other person, they now share it with you. And now your whole mindset is not based on what you think you know about them, is now based on that other person's thought process. So you actually end up judging them through the wrong lenses again and thinking incorrectly of them, even though you don't know them.
It's called gossip.
Well, and yeah, but it's also the basis is this is what I'm saying, is embittered people will affect the ones around them that have influence. And so this is why we have to be very careful as, you know, not just students, but as Christians, that we, what we say and what we speak, but also how we deliver things to other people is very important. Mm-hmm. And this is why so many, I think, situations within the church environment has become so ugly so quickly. I know that I keep on saying that, but when you generally look at the church environment, they're, a lot of the churches are full of sour-faced, you know, miserable people, because at the end of the day is that they're there and they don't have the joy of the Lord, they don't have the heart of God, but they're quite happy to point their fingers at somebody else. And hey, I'm not, have I been down that road? Yes, I have. So I
we know a lot of wonderful churches as well.
We do, but I'm just saying generally, I'm just saying the church as a general situation.
The body of Christ.
There's a lot of hurt Christians out there. Mm-hmm. And we either can be a part of this redemptive solution or we become a part of the problem. Mm-hmm. And I would prefer to be a part of the redemptive solution, to actually speak life over them and speak the love of God over them, than what I would do be negative. Mm-hmm. Amen?
It's good, really good. All right, let me give you another one. This one is, when you declare, I give up my right to be offended, but a few days later, bitterness arises in you. Did you truly give it to the Lord, or is the enemy trying to convince you that you're still a bitter person?
That's very good, whoever sent that in, because that is exactly what happened. We had this time, we're going to give up our right to be offended. And I think it was wham, 3 days later, slam. And I was like, but did get, you know, like, because your flesh sometimes is the first thing that reacts. So it was like, I can't believe that. I can't believe that's happened. I just can't believe that happened. I'm, you know, da, da, da. And then it was like, okay, Lord, this has happened. Can't do anything about it. Don't agree with the decision that was made or how it was delivered. But you know what? I give up the right to be offended. So it wasn't as long as it has been in the past. So I'm being honest.
And Sue's a very outward processor.
Yeah.
So
she'll go.
Normally you'll see her go. Blah, 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 and it's like, okay. Where I'm an inward processor, I something happens, and I never used to be. I used to be like, man, you watch the light. Light the blue touch paper and watch me go.
We saw reversed about 10 years ago. It's really like interesting.
I'm a real inward processor these days, but Sue, bless her, and it's because I know her, is sometimes I have to let her vent to allow her to process it in her own mind. Mm-hmm. But I would have to say, yes, was there the basis of you can trip very quickly back into your old...
The old flesh.
The old man. But again, Sue was very quick to make the corrections. So for me, it was...
I was very proud of myself. I thought, well, it's only been an hour. That was really good. So whereas it
not,
used to
not
be...
3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks of festering over that sort of thing. So, you know, but it's interesting because, you know, when you make those types of decisions, then, of course, the devil will come along and go, oh, yeah, let's just see. And usually it involves people that you trust or people that you love, and you're like, wow, that was a sideswipe, you know?
I mean, we had being truthful, guys, just literally about half an hour before we walked down here, we had an emotional situation that reared up back in the UK of a situation. I'm not going to go into the details, but man, we could have gone off on one another quite quickly.
Yeah, in my office. Also, it's my fault, is it? Okay, that's great. Now we go down and do relationship you. So Brian, in his wisdom, was like, are we going to pray before we go down? Oh, yes, of course. Hand it over.
But what I'm saying is, you know, don't think, again, you're not going to get trials and tribulations on something that you're standing against. But even, like I said, 30 minutes before we walked down here, there was a situation that came about that could have actually got us two into a bit of a situation or a bit of a tiff. And it's like, I'm not going to allow the devil.
I've spent hours on this PowerPoint. I am not going to. Which I knew he wouldn't stick to anyway, but hey, you know.
But again, we can laugh about it, but I mean, it is so real that the enemy, you know, the enemy will come and try and rip up the roots that you're trying to lay down. And as I said, for me, it's very real. These battles go on, and we're just being open and honest. We had a choice to either, you know, rear up about it and become sort of annoyed with each other, or it's like, no, I actually see what it is, what is going on in the spiritual realms, and I'm not going to allow it.
Yeah.
So we shut it down.
So I just fed Brian one of those nasty olives, Tyler, before he came in. I thought, that's how I'm feeling. Here you go.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, here go another one. Let's see. How do you rebuild a bridge that somebody else burned? Like they were offended by family members' influence and misunderstood you or your actions. And so now you're on your end and unable to rebuild it, and you can't force it. So how do you pray for restoration? Or do you just let that go?
It depends if they truly want restoration, as in the person that wants to pray for it. And again, you know, you've got to go back to Luke 11 for me, you know, where it basically said, you know, knock on the door and the door will be open, seek and ye shall find. And that piece of scripture says, pray without ceasing, and all of the other areas in Luke 11. But God said to never stop praying. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you don't see it at that particular point, if it's months or weeks, or that it will not come to pass, but you don't give up on a situation, even if it's a prayerful consideration. I mean, if that person's heart is truly for restoration, God knows that person's heart for restoration. You don't think they're going to... God is a God of restoration. I mean, just look at us two. So for me, there is the basis, yes, does the other person need to let down their guard, you know, and allow that to happen at some point? Yes. But the person who is actually, you know, wanting restoration, if the other person isn't willing to, then the only option they have is to pray. Or, again... You know, you meet on mutual territory at a cafe somewhere and just have the conversation again is where did I go wrong? You know, I've obviously really upset you and hurt you. I want to know where things went wrong because I want to make it right.
Yeah, and I think sometimes people go through life because they've had a bad experience, especially in like relationships, and they can't connect very well with other people because they've had this bad experience. My prayer always is, Lord, soften their heart, because, you know, he wants that person to be restored. But again, you're not God, so you have to hand it over. Lord, I pray that you soften their heart and bring me the opportunity to be able to, you know, pray with them or speak to them. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I agree. Another one we've got here is, what if... A lot of these are what if, right? What if someone you see as a brother or sister, closer than blood, is bitter towards you? How do you open up communication again when they don't want you to even say hi when you see them in public or at work?
So is that somebody who's a brother or a sister or like a brother and a sister?
Yeah, so they consider them closer than blood. They're not their real blood, but right. They consider them closer than blood. And
then the relationship went sour.
Yeah, again, that's a tough one to walk through. And my thing with that is, you know, be like Jesus to them, because you're not going to draw them close to you by keep asking them questions. What's wrong? Can I help you? Can you do this? Can you do that? You've just got to love them through it, because they're the ones that unfortunately have got the bitterness in their heart towards whatever it is that's caused that situation to come up. A lot of the time it is praying through stuff and asking the Father to give you the words to pray for these people, because he knows their heart. And you may think, again, that it's one specific situation that's caused this, but it could be something different. So again, it's getting the wisdom from above, you know, and as we know, that is pure and it is peaceable. So you'll know when you hear from the Father the best way to maybe approach that situation. But, you know, there's a, you know, it is keeping your love on the whole time.
And I think some of it is just general timings, mm-hmm. you know. And I mean, I'm very sorry that person is having to walk through that, because, you know, it hurts, you know. And it's a situation where I think a lot of us probably have had dear friends that sometimes seem closer than brothers and sisters that have, you know, things have gone south, mm-hmm. And it does hurt. But I mean, again, it's not dwelling on the factor, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Isn't it going to happen? I don't know. Is, like I said, is that those are the areas you have to lean on the wisdom and the grace and the love of God. You've released them. You love them through the eyes of God. All you've got really is allow God to bring either the restoration or the timings to do so.
Yeah, and one of the things that, you know, we've got as a resource is the fact that when we were going through third year, we got to a stage where we just felt we were hitting the wall, and also we were very involved with prayer and healing and that type of thing. We kept noticing a lot of people coming up with heart issues, so we did some research, and one of the trainings that we did ourselves back, you know, 7-8 years ago, was we went through Sozo ministry training, because we thought we were going to help others. We were like, you know, this will just be another thing for us to help people with. And then we realized, oh my goodness, God has brought us through here to heal our hearts with each other. And it was such a revelation. And, you know, it's been going over 25 years now, and it's in various places, and, you know, we've been helping with the Sozo ministry down in the Springs, and it's amazing. The main thing with that is to reveal the lie and connect people back to the Godhead, because a lot of the times we put lies inside our hearts, and then we go and blame God for that situation. So there's lots of resources out there to sort of help people, but that was one that really helped us. And we, you know, we were like,
Have they got the slide?
Yeah, I think it's one of the slides up there. But again,
I mean, it is, you know, sort of Sozo ministry. But again, it's for us, it's the Godhead in one. We just refer to as God or Lord or what have you. But when you truly understand
The Trinity.
We have different relationships. Our relationship with Father God will be different to the relationship we have with Jesus, to that of the Holy Spirit. And so this is why, you know, we love this ministry so much, not only because we've seen the fruit of it, but also the basis is sometimes there's a disconnect. Sometimes you have a great relationship, you know, with Jesus, but actually I'm really struggling with the Holy Spirit because I don't know how to talk about things with the Holy Spirit. And it's the same thing with Father God. We've had so many people that come, oh yeah, my relationship with Father God is just awesome, I'm, you know. And you start, you know, going into a bit of ministry and it's like, man, I didn't realize that was a situation, you know, that happened so many years ago that actually became a disconnect to where I'm disconnecting on a vertical level because of the horizontal level.
Yeah. Or you know, I can't connect to Father God because my earthly father left, or I was abused by my earthly father. So there's that slight barrier mm-hmm. of connecting. and connection. And, you know, God's heart is for us to be fully connected, body, soul, and spirit, and to be able to
walk whole.
Yeah, recognize him as a loving father, to recognize Jesus as our best friend, to recognize the Holy Spirit as our comforter and our teacher. So, you know, it's just more than anything, we just wanted to share that, you know, if people sometimes struggle in those areas of connection, and because they believe lies along the journey of life, we get lies, don't we, that come into our hearts, which are so hard sometimes for us to dig up and get out. And I think that's one of the things we wanted to just share with you guys, you know, the opportunity there for that, because it's so important that we have a relationship with God, you know, body, soul, and spirit, because he knows our flesh when our flesh reacts. Like, you know, the thing is, did you react to that suit? Oh, yes, I reacted to it for an hour. And then I was like, Lord, this isn't doing me any good because my flesh is reacting this way. And then your emotions get in. You know, your flesh gets there because suddenly you're feeling sick or hot or stressed about the situation. And then the emotions come in of, oh, gosh, that is so unfair. I can't believe that's happened. You know, and then the poor little spirit saying, no, 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 don't go down that route. So anyway, we just wanted to share those couple of things with you just so that it helps a few people.
All right, praise the Lord. Y'all, anybody out there tired of being bitter? Say this the last, I'm not going to be bitter in 2022.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Remember, amen. Get up. I give up the right to be offended. And then you can let me know how you're getting on with that, and I can let you know how I'm getting on with it. All right, deal?
All right, well, we really appreciate you, Brian and Sue. Can we give them a hand? It's really good, right?
And thank you.
Of course, my privilege. Hey, so we have time for prayer. So I just want to say, anybody online, first of all, if you guys have been affected by this message and you really feel like God is moving on your heart in an area of bitterness, or it could be something totally unrelated to bitterness, but you feel like the Lord's stirring something up in your heart, please call 719-635-1111. And we got prayer ministers that are waiting for you to call, man. They want to pray with you. But here in the auditorium, we have prayer ministers. If you guys could come up, and if anybody has prayer for anything, I mean, it's Monday. If you just need some encouragement to get through the week or whatever it could be, man, these guys are here to pray with you. So please come up and let these guys love on you. We'll see you next time, next Monday, 1 p.m. I don't know. I think we're having Barry or somebody awesome is going to be here. So we can't wait until he's coming.
Barry's talking on strife, I think.
Is it Barry? Yeah, that's what. Barry's on the 7th. All right. Oh, it's a rerun. Oh, all right. Well, praise the Lord. We love everybody. If you need prayer, please come up and get some. All right.